The following podcast contains two drunk jerks.
And sometimes their friends.
Using obscene language and spoiling movies
from the 90s.
So sit back and enjoy this audio experience.
The movie where Whitney Houston sings, Kevin Costner stares into the distance, and audiences are like, they're in love!
The movie that taught Whitney Houston that success isn't everything. What's really important is love, family, and crack cocaine. Piles and piles of crack cocaine.
The massive, giant, top-selling soundtrack. But with pictures, and sometimes no singing, and they're just talking, and every once in a while people looking around quietly. But then they go back to singing, and everyone's like, yay, singing!
This is The Bodyguard on Blockbuster Nostalgia.
Hey, blockheads, and welcome back to Blockbuster Nostalgia. You know us, we're the movie podcast countdown the biggest movies of the 1990s, one by one. I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landin.
And today we are talking about the 1992 mega hit, The Bodyguard.
The mega soundtrack hit.
The mega soundtrack hit. I mean, the movie was massively successful.
Yes. So back in 1992, it made $122,006,740.
Domestically, it made, I believe, over pushing 400 worldwide.
Worldwide. Crazy.
Yeah.
And it still continues to be, it's still making money just on the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah. The soundtrack made another, I don't know, 200 million or something crazy like that.
Also, you can't just watch it anywhere. You got to have subscriptions and shit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like Showtime owns it or something.
That's right.
Yeah. So, you know, they're still making money off of that. People are still renting that thing.
That's right.
Yeah, it's a massive hit. And I thought it was god-awful.
It's not great.
This movie it's crazy to me, other than the Whitney's amazing fucking talent.
She's very good at singing.
Other than the singing part, I was just like, what the fuck is going on in this movie?
Well, and even the singing part, that's not a movie.
No. It was this was just an executive being like, that their singer's big right now. Can we use that somehow? I guess we can make a love story where she sings in it.
Yeah.
And that's it.
So, long-time listeners know, we have the very funny bit that we do every podcast where we fix the movie.
Yeah.
And by fixing the movie, we usually, throw a bunch of
aliens
degenerate
and Stallone.
Sex or yeah. aliens or Stallone or Mad Max or some shit, right?
Right.
This movie, legitimately, I feel like you can make 500,000 times better with relatively minor changes.
Yeah. Well, just cutting. First of all,
you gotta
over 2 hours
this.
Long. What
because,
the fuck is that?
Well, it's way too long. Yeah. You got to get this bad boy down to an hour 40.
Oh, yeah.
Easily. You also have to, they already hit on it because they knew at some level, somebody involved in this movie knew because they picked I Will Always Love You as the theme song, right?
Right.
Which is a song about two people that cannot be together.
Right.
So this movie should have been about two people that
cannot
love
be together.
Each other, but yeah. cannot be together.
Yeah.
And it's kind of not.
No, it's not. You're thinking of When a Man Loves a Woman.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah. Which is about alcoholism with great performances and pretty well directed. No, this is...
But you could also do... I mean, especially because this thing is such a, modern day samurai thing, right?
You're right.
If you do that, chaste... Like, the Chinese could do this, right?
Right.
Like, if this was, a fucking Chinese historical epic about a bodyguard and, a princess that fell in love but could never be together, there would just be that tension the whole movie.
Right.
And then he would end up, sacrificing himself, or she would die.
Yes.
Or something tragic would happen, and that's how
so
it would end.
That's exactly how this fucking movie should have ended.
Yeah.
This idea that the bodyguard and the singer can't be together is bullshit because it's happened dozens of times.
Well, and it happens 30 minutes into this movie.
Yeah.
They fuck.
It's
not a big deal.
All right, let's start. First of all, the movie starts super convoluted, and I don't know what the fuck is going on 5 minutes into this movie.
It's a weird opening.
It's a fucking weird opening.
You can definitely tell the idea was let's open with an action scene, but they open with the aftermath of an action scene that is confusing because a cop is dead.
Yeah.
But then you're like, that wasn't
confusing.
A cop. And
it's just like Kevin Costner shooting at the screen.
Yeah.
And then just people are dead on the ground. And then then it's like a TV with Whitney Houston and it explodes.
Yeah.
And then then the guy is trying to hire Kevin Costner. And I'm like, didn't he hire him? Like, what the fuck is going on? Yeah. Right away. It's super schizophrenic.
Yes.
Like, the way it starts.
The opening's really weird. This movie has a weird pacing stuff because there are moments that are very long. Mm-hmm. And then there are moments, like you said, that they're just flying.
It's directed not very well at all.
Yeah. It's shot very nicely, I thought.
Yeah, that cinematography is great.
Yeah.
Everybody looks great.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's, you know, it's good looking people, movie stars and stuff.
Yeah. Also, the score is bad. Like, right away,
which is weird because it's Alan Silvestri, right?
Yeah, but I think the timing was wrong, I think. Like, the score kicks in and out in weird spots.
In weird spots.
Especially in the beginning, right away, I was like, what the fuck is this? Like, yeah. I'm 10 minutes in and everything is super convoluted and, like, erratic and the music is bad. Like, I don't know, what the hell are we doing here? But then we get a shot of, what do we get? Like, Kevin Costner's has throwing knives for some reason?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, well, I was,
he's
like,
a bodyguard.
Yeah, yeah. Well, but obviously they use throwing yeah. knives all the time.
Of course.
Well, it's a scene where he's like sitting down enjoying a summer day and what's his name comes in to try to talk him into taking the
So this is the first of many that guys that appear in this movie.
Many, yeah, 90s
which is
guys.
Many 90s, like 80s and 90s that guys.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking about Bill Cobbs is this first guy.
Yeah, Bill Cobbs is great. He's got a great voice, too.
Bill Cobbs does have a great voice. Still working, actually, every once in a while. Older man, but Demolition Man, one of my favorites.
Yep. Yeah.
He's in People Under the Stairs.
He's like the old cop in Demolition Man.
Yeah, he's the old cop in Demolition Man, which is great. Yeah. He's in Oz the Great and Powerful, but yeah, still working.
Yeah, he shows up to try to talk him into this, and then Kevin Costner stands up out of the fucking chair that he's lounging in, and then just goes and picks up throwing knives off the ground. And I was like, did I write this in back when I was 19?
Right.
Because it seems like a thing I would
just
have
throwing knives.
One of my old Hitman characters back when we all used to write Hitman movies.
Oh yeah, of course we did.
One of my Hitman characters would just do that. He would just stand up and pick up throwing knives from the ground. And then do some throwing knife action.
And I also thought this scene also doesn't, it's not as good as it should. Like, it's set up to be that classic because, so he throws the first knife and he's way off.
Yeah.
And he throws the second knife and almost hits the guy.
Yeah.
And then he throws the knife and it's very good.
Yeah.
But, like, I thought, I don't know, like, that's just such a lame way to do that scene.
It is super lame.
Where
yeah.
you can do that scene where Kevin Costner's just fucking around. And then kind of casually as they're walking, like, throws two knives and, like, bullseye, like, behind his back.
Right, right, you know right. I mean? Yeah.
And then you're like, oh, he's actually a secret
badass.
He's
a fucking badass, yeah.
Also, but this way, you're just like, all right, he hit one of three.
Yeah, exactly. like, not that good.
Not that good,
He
yeah.
looked like an idiot the first two. Yeah. If you give him Lethal Weapon style, because he lost his lady, right? It's the same kind of thing. Like, he lost his lady. So if you give him that fucking alcoholism or he doesn't have the will to live, type of thing, his character becomes like 10 times better.
Well, and he also has that whole thing where his big, like, the thing actually, it really isn't even the lady. His big hang up is he wasn't there the day Reagan was shot.
Yeah. So he's like, I could have kept Reagan. Yeah. Also,
Reagan survived.
Survived that.
Yeah. And Reagan was fine. He was president for like 6 more years.
Rode that fucking yeah. getting shot to get reelected. Like, it totally boosted him super high in the fucking polls.
Yeah.
Because everybody got behind the president.
They also say that he served, what, 2 years with Carter, right? And like six years with Reagan, which means that he was like right out of, he was like 20 when he joined the Secret Service.
Yeah, that's true. Which it doesn't track.
Yeah. I was like, you couldn't have just said Reagan?
There's a lot of weird character things with him, man. Yeah. Like, all right, and then second of all, he's like obsessive compulsive.
I wonder if that was a thing. Well, and yeah, he is obsessive compulsive,
but not to a fault.
Yeah, he does. They don't go far enough. They don't go like the as good as it gets.
They
Jack
do
Nicholson
not develop
thing,
that
right?
fucking character. Yeah. They do not develop his character. Yeah,
but I do wonder because this movie was originally written in the 70s,
right?
And I wonder if that was just like kind of a strange hold. Well, but then Reagan wouldn't have been around.
Yeah,
know.
No.
I don't mean, know. Maybe they just figured Kevin Costner. Kevin Costner Kennedy? Just can always play whatever character.
I mean, if it was in the 70s. Yeah, that's true. Yeah. Yeah.
Kevin Costner is just always like, oh, yeah, I guess he's that young or old.
Yeah. Yeah. And or old. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah, you could
just
be like, sure.
Indeterminate adult man age.
He's quiet enough to be an old man, yeah. but he's good looking enough to be a young man.
That's right.
He's just a paradox, he is.
Kevin Costner, can we just like sidebar some Kevin Costner talk for a while?
Yeah.
Because Kevin Costner was a guy that I remember seeing this movie when it came out and being like, fucking Costner, fucking stupid movie.
Yeah.
Costner sucks. Fucking Dance with Wolves was boring and fucking Well, what else? JFK. JFK was fucking boring. Like, because I was like 10. Like, I don't know.
Yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah. Political thrillers. Bullshit.
Yeah. Like, and Kevin Costner, he's just got no range. He's not doing funny voices. He's not, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
He's not fucking Robin Williams up here. Or, like, he's not doing sly. He's not blowing people away.
Yeah,
or, like,
yeah.
Breaking people in half or anything.
He's not killing rats with his mouth like Chuck Norris.
Exactly. Yeah. Kevin Costner over the last, like, 20 years, though?
Yeah,
maybe even 10. He's fucking great, dude. Yeah, he's killing it.
I mean, he's doing the same thing, only now it makes sense because he's an old man. Because he's an old man.
So he's really settled into this, like, grizzled Americana. Really nice.
Yes. That's one of the other ways. Like, there's, like you said, a lot of ways to fix this fucking movie. One of them is make Kevin Costner a man in his fucking 60s.
That's true. If Kevin Costner made this movie now, but you still had, like, he's protecting...
Then you're like, well... I don't know,
Billie Eilish.
I'm not okay
with him.
Yeah, exactly.
And she's too young, but maybe like... Nicki Minaj.
But exactly. But that also makes it more where, like, they have forbidden love.
Yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean? Because then it becomes, like, a real thing, you know?
Right.
But, yeah.
But also, now he's, like, this grizzled fucking, like...
Yeah, now his weird obsessive compulsive and like his knowledge makes sense.
Yes.
Because he's touted as such a like knowledgeable bodyguard stuff, and then he shows up and does obvious shit.
Yeah. He's like, oh, maybe have a gate.
Put cameras up.
Yeah, have cameras.
yeah. And they're like, oh, genius. Of course. Cameras.
It is mildly amusing when he shows up and he's just using different very famous fake names.
Yeah, and he gets
just Henry Ford and who else does he use? Like
yeah, he uses a couple of presidents.
Andrew Jackson, I think. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah, he uses up like...
Everyone's just like, all right, I guess.
Yeah, they let him in. So they talk him into it. He talks him into taking the job, but he doesn't want it.
He doesn't want
it. But he's like, go...
And especially when he shows up and he sees that they're not taking any of this seriously.
Right, well, first of all...
Winnie's just shooting music videos. Winnie doesn't know. Yeah.
Like, she doesn't know that a guy...
Dude masturbated in her bedroom?
Yeah, a guy showed up and jerked off on her bed, which... At first, I was like, oh, yeah, like somebody put a bomb in the TV. That's weird. And then they were talking about the doll.
Yeah.
But like masturbating on the bed. All right. That's a real threat.
Yeah.
You know, by the end of the movie, though, when the payoff happens and the twist, I was like, no, it doesn't make any sense.
Nope.
Not at all. Like, none of that setup fucking made any sense. The payoff doesn't match the setup.
That's true.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Also, it seems like, again, it doesn't pay off right, but. At first, I was like, the person who wrote this doesn't understand what stalking is like.
Yeah.
Like, stalking isn't about, I hate you and I want you to die. It's about, like, I love you and if we can't be friends, yeah, I'm going to have to kill you.
Yeah.
Like, that's what stalkers are like, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
So, it's set up in a way, but then by the end, I was like, again, doesn't make any sense. Now that setup makes any sense anymore.
Yeah. Well, and especially because the weird scene, so, you know, we're going to spoil it, obviously, but, you know, because she has a legit stalker who's like this crazy dude.
Yeah.
But then he's obviously not the one that's trying to kill her or anything. He's just like a weird obsessive loser. And then he shows up at the very end to like be in the scene after Costner gets shot and everything. And he's like looking. And then like the music cue and stuff makes you go like, oh, look at this poor like loser idiot guy.
Yeah.
It's like, wait a minute. Wasn't he sending her like death threats and like weird disturbing
his only crime was breaking in and masturbating on the bed.
Threatening her life and drawing like a million pictures of him like cutting off her head.
Yeah, and also why did they let him go?
Yeah.
Like clearly it's psychiatric help at the very least.
Yeah.
Like you get, yeah, it's not a payoff. And you know,
it's not enough to hold him, Jim.
Yeah.
All we got is a couple pictures.
I actually never seen this movie before all the way. I'd seen scenes. Obviously the music videos would play a lot.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And all that stuff. So I knew that they were going to be in love. I thought the movie ended with the scene of him carrying her. I didn't know that happens halfway through the movie.
That happens very early, yeah. That's where they fall in love.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly. No, they fall in love right away for no reason.
Kind of. I mean, they fall in lust right away.
Yeah. But
I feel like neither one of them is that hot that they would immediately be like,
exactly.
We got to do this. Yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
Like, are you a quiet fucking meathead policeman? I've been looking for one of those guys. like she's kind of surrounded by it. But the part in the very beginning, and again, spoiling, but the part in the very beginning when they're telling him like, this is Cy, her whatever, and then this is Tony, her current like head of security,
right?
And this is her sister and also personal assistant. I was like, I bet you she's behind the whole thing. Like I knew right away. I was like, personal assistant, sister, bad guy.
Yeah.
That's got to be the bad guy. It's they put a gun in the first act.
Yep. Yep.
Like, you didn't have to say the, if you didn't say the personal assistant part, I would have been like, oh, it's his sister. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
But doing that, it's such a like demeaning thing that I was like, bad guy right there. That's the bad guy.
Yeah.
And that's the only thing that paid off.
Her current head of security, one Mike Starr, who you might know from such movies as Dumb and Dumber.
Yeah.
Ed Wood.
He was in Goodfellas.
Uncle Buck, Miller's Crossing, Goodfellas. Yeah.
He was kind of a go-to, we can't get Danny Aiello.
Yes. To the point that when he first showed up, like, because I was kind of half watching this movie. You were like, that's Danny Aiello. Yeah. I was like half watching this movie and like half doing other things. And as soon as, like, when he, like, I caught him out of the corner of my eye, I was like, oh, I forgot Danny Aiello was in this movie.
Yeah. And you're like,
and then
oh,
he
no.
showed up again. And I was like, wait a minute. What's happened to Danny Aiello's face?
Yeah.
I was like, oh no, it's fucking Mike Starr.
Yeah, it's Mike Starr. Which actually, I like him a lot in this movie.
No, he's great. Yeah.
He's a pretty fun character.
Yes, yes.
And he gets a good fight in it with Kevin Costner. It's actually pretty good.
Yes. That's a good scene.
But anyway, yeah. So Kevin Costner shows up. He doesn't want any part of it. And he immediately is like, there's been a misunderstanding. I'm out.
And actually, it's half a good scene. I have a problem with it, but we'll get to there.
Yeah, yeah. And then they once again talk. They're like, well, you know, like, let me show you. It's real danger. Like, we're talking about real danger.
Yeah.
He's like, I'll stay, but things got to go my way. And then, first of all, you got to tell the person that they're in danger, which I was like, yeah, they should have done
that
in the beginning.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Second of all, put cameras up. And I was like, yeah, again, you're incredibly famous. And this is like 94. We're already in the, like, O.J. Simpson. Like, you know what I mean? We're already about famous people having to, like, have security around the clock.
Oh, yeah.
Michael Jackson and shit like that. You know what I mean? So it's like, yeah,
I'm sure actual Whitney Houston had way more security than fake movie Whitney Houston. Yeah.
And then Psy, her douchebag.
Producer friend? I guess? Yeah.
He's very much about the money, but he's like fighting it the whole time because he doesn't want to upset her and shit like that. And I get that, but it was weird. It was weird to be like, no, security, get out of here. Yeah. Like, we want to party and have a good time and shit.
Yeah. He's just all about the drugs and the party.
Yeah.
He doesn't really care about security.
That's right. I mean, the side characters.
What are you
going to
do?
Sense.
Stop like hot, half naked ladies from coming into the party? Come on.
Yeah. No, we're there for fucking partying brunch,
and
I
drugs
guess.
And brunch, yeah.
Yeah, because he's got the line about Tuesday morning brunch.
Yep. It's like, go on Tuesday. Tuesday. Come on.
Brunch on Tuesday. Ridiculous.
Who do you think we are?
Yeah. I mean, all the two-dimensional characters, when they're side characters, pretty effective.
Yeah, no, that's there's
when
nothing
when they're
nothing
the main characters,
that, right? Yeah.
Not effective.
Yeah, and also, let's talk about Whitney.
Yeah, let's talk about Whitney.
She's a great singer.
She is a great singer.
She's not a terrible actress.
No, she did pretty good, I thought. But
I thought for an actor, for a singer, I was like, eh, it's okay.
Yeah, and apparently her and Kevin Costner had a pretty good relationship on set.
Yeah, seems like.
So that transfers over, like...
Does this movie, if we take the same not very good script,
right?
But you put someone like a real pro actress, like if you, it's 92, right?
Maybe so like Nicole Kidman in there?
Yeah, Nicole Kidman, maybe Michelle Pfeiffer. Who did Costner,
date?
Trying to think of who Costner was like, had good scene chemistry with. What was the one with
Marion? Oh, was that Rene Russo?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Rene Russo? Maybe not.
Yeah. Yeah, if you just put like a... But she's not... But Whitney Houston isn't bad at
she's
it.
Not bad.
Most of it is her singing and
I'm
her
just thinking, like,
charisma.
Could they sell the romance if it was someone that really could, like... I don't know.
Because the romance develops out of nowhere, out of nothing.
Yeah, so as we said,
like,
when they first...
We're led to believe.
They first see each other, Whitney gives them a little like,
Yeah, exactly.
And then they have no interactions that aren't bad. And then Kevin Costner watches one of her music videos in which she's in like a very kind of sexy outfit and sits up. And that's, I guess, him falling for her.
It's a hilarious scene.
It's pretty funny.
It's a hilarious scene because they're upstairs in the mansion, like the main house.
He is blasting it. He's in the first of all, he's in the guard tower. He's supposed to be watching out. And he is blasting this music video so fucking loud.
She can hear it from inside of the house.
And it's not like she can just barely hear it.
No, it's like very loud.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And this is like this is your next door neighbor blaring music at like a 4th of July party.
Yeah. Like doing it on purpose.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, no, like she can hear it, and like they kind of like her and her sister, I think, have like that little like, huh, what's that? And then he looks and he can see her, she can see him watching it.
Yeah.
You can hear that shit from a block away.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what is he doing? And then the very funny reaction of him like being enthralled by it and then standing up.
Yeah.
Like, what? what are you doing, Kevin Costner? Like, come ridiculous. On, man.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
It was so unintentionally hilarious.
It's very funny.
But the movie is full of scenes like that.
Yes.
That are, like, supposed to be meaningful, powerful love
but
scenes.
Just miss the mark.
And they're just like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope. The other scene, which is the huge scene that people remember, is the handkerchief sword scene, which
do
is...
Do people remember that?
Yeah, because when I looked it up, there's like write-ups about like, oh, let's talk about the most romantic scene in The Bodyguard and stuff like that. And I was like, what are you fucking talking about? Because the scene is Whitney Houston having no idea what a sword is,
right?
But swinging it about wildly like a child who's going to cut his own arm off with a lightsaber. Yep. Yep. Swinging it about.
So many Padawans lost arms that way.
Yep, because you don't give don't give four-year-olds a fucking lightsaber. Why do they do that?
Yeah, no.
Obviously, they can't use it because they couldn't defend themselves against one Anakin Skywalker, true. And there was like 20 of them.
Yeah.
So don't give them a lightsaber. What are you doing?
No, don't do it.
Give them a toy one.
For now, at least. Yeah. Wait till they're like 8.
You're taking sword lessons. You're using a wooden sword till you're like fucking in your teens.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, come on, man. But yeah, but she's like waving it wildly, and then he picks up this handkerchief and throws it up in the air, and it cuts in half because the blade is so sharp, which is a way of him being like, stop fucking around, you brat. Like, look how sharp this motherfucker is.
Yeah.
But instead, it's like, nah, now we're going to have sex.
Yep.
That's all I needed to see.
So this was the real conversation I had last night, because I watched this movie with my girlfriend, and they have sex in that scene, and she's like, wait, what?
Oh,
what the fuck is going on? There's been no
chemistry.
Setup for this.
There's been no
chemistry.
And I
was like, what are you talking about, babe? He watched a music video. That was him falling in love with her.
She was a bitch to him for a minute.
He picked her up and carried her away from a crowd.
As is his job.
That was her falling in love with him. Now they're having sex, clearly. Yeah. Like, come on. 1 + 1 = 2, baby. Like, it's easy.
Oh, man. It made no sense. None of it. None of what they do. Like, they're falling in love is such a fucking,
She does immediately go from, I hate this guy, to, he did his job and carried me out of a dangerous situation.
Nobody has ever saved me before.
I guess, yeah. I guess we have to fuck now.
Which is like a testament of how shitty Mike Starr is doing.
Yeah.
If all you needed was
to carry her out? Yeah, come on, man. You're Mike Starr.
He's twice as that size. Like, yeah. He could have been carrying her the whole time. And that was his job, too.
That's true.
So, you know, fire him if that's the case.
That's true. But he turns into a pretty good second.
He does. He does turn into a pretty good second. Also, I don't understand what he's doing there still the whole time.
Well, because...
He's like the head of security, kind of, but Kevin Costner is now?
Well, but she, like, they're like, you know, her people are like family to her. She's not going to fire him.
Also, you could have used that as, like, she fires him and then he's the
bad guy.
The bad
guy. Yeah, you could have done that.
So many different things you can do with this fucking movie. But there's a... The dressing room scene is the other one that's supposed to be like, ooh, sparks are flying. Where
the dressing room scene?
She goes shopping. He wants to go shopping. And he goes
shopping scene. Yeah, yeah,
yeah. And then she's in the dressing room talking to him.
And he's being a jerk.
And she's being kind of a bitch.
Yeah.
And then like, she's like, can you hand me the top? And he's like, it's not my job or something like that.
Yeah, my job is not to help you get dressed.
Or yeah, whatever. Yeah. And then she opens up the dressing room fully clothed, takes 2 steps and grabs it. And then I was like, yeah, what a bitch. What are you making him grab it for you? Like, you're fully clothed already. It's not like you're topless. And also, another good missed opportunity, because she could have done that femme fatale thing where she, like, opens it up but is
like,
nude,
partially naked
and grabs
in
it.
In lingerie or something.
Exactly. Something like that to kind of, like, power dynamic. Yeah, But missed opportunity.
There's a ton of missed opportunity. And there are some, like, good scenes, because I actually think the scene that she has before they go on their date is a good scene, but... should have come way later in the movie.
You're talking about when she asks him to...
Yeah, when she's like, I can't go on a date because you got to be there, so you're just going to have to take me on a date.
Yeah.
Like, that's a good scene for, we've been flirting for an hour.
Right.
Yeah, and now I'm not going to force the issue.
Nope.
Not like, we've hated each other for 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And...
None of it makes sense. And then when they start, like, kind of becoming a thing, I was like, worst fucking couple. Can you imagine being around these people? First of all, he's way too serious about everything and pissed off all the fucking time.
Right.
And then she is a hard bitch to everybody. So, and she's like a diva.
Right.
So they are the worst. Like, imagine having them at your dinner party.
The worst.
Worst fucking couple ever.
You'd be so excited, too, because you'd like, oh, my God, we got Whitney Houston and her, like, her bodyguard slash boyfriend are coming.
They're coming, yeah.
And he's, like, a fucking hero, and she's fucking Whitney Houston. Yeah,
he worked for Reagan and shit.
Yeah, and she's, like, this huge singer, and oh, my God, this is going to be the best party. And then they show up, and you're like, Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Fuck.
Have you tried having a conversation with this guy? He says, like, two words, and then he's pissed off all the time.
Like, we were excited about this. I could have invited Bob from the deli. Yeah, like, come on.
Yeah, yeah, that guy's got stories.
That guy's,
he's a funny guy. Yeah. He's got some very funny jokes. This guy, not a funny bone in this guy, man. There's nothing funny. And even when he's kind of, like you said, like the throwing knife part, which is kind of supposed to be funny. It was almost there, but it just does not land.
There's a lot of almost there with this movie.
Yeah. Yeah. And then also, like, there's a lot of this movie that I was just like, I'm just bored. I'm bored of what's happening.
Yeah. Again, it's, what, 2 hours and 15 minutes long?
Yeah.
You need 30 minutes of that shit gone. You need to trim the fat.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, also, the scenes that are supposed to be, like, action scenes are also pretty ridiculous. That scene where he carries her. Like, he doesn't want her to go on stage.
Right? All the action scenes are escalated beyond the point of the way they should be. Like, they're very simple scenes like, oh, there's a weird car following us. Let me get the license plate. No, I'm going to run. We're going to play dramatic music. Then I'm going to get the license plate after I've jumped off a fucking hill.
Yeah.
But then I also fail to get the license plate. So
or
like when he crashes into the boy, when you're like, what are you doing?
Yeah. Hell yeah. Yeah. That's right. Yeah. There's, I mean, actually, like, there was much more chemistry between the fucking limo driver and Kevin Costner.
Oh, yeah. No, the limo driver.
The limo driver was great.
Yeah.
And I want to see a developing friendship through them.
Fuck yeah.
Not the fucking shitty. Well,
and
you could have.
And they sort of try and do it with the boy, the little boy.
Yeah, yeah, with the son.
But, that actor.
Yeah, the kid. Yeah. Yeek. Fletcher?
Harsh.
Fletcher was the name of the kid. Yeah. Yeah, that kid was not that good.
Like, I don't want to, you know, take a shit on an 8-year-old boy, but Jesus. Actor,
but oh my God. Yeah, and you almost got something there, but at the same time, I'm like, not stepdad material. He's clearly bottling up a ton of anger.
Yeah.
Like,
and then he doesn't, and you don't even get real, like, they kind of do it. But there's so many movies that do this better, where you have the stoic, taciturn, like, badass who then opens up to the young child. Wolverine does that shit, like, every 3 years with a different, like, 13-year-old. So,
Yeah. They just introduce a new one into the comic book. Sometimes it's his son, maybe.
Sometimes it's just an unrelated person, but.
Yeah, there's no chemistry between them either.
No.
Like, even, I was even like, I guess he's being nice to him, but he's still kind of being standoffish with him. And immediately, Kevin Costner's a shitty character. Immediately, he's like weirdly controlling with her. And especially after they sleep together, first thing he does is like tell her, like, I'm not supposed to do this. You know, like, I wasn't supposed to sleep with you. I can't fall in love again because, you know, I've been hurt so bad.
It is that classic, I've made a huge mistake.
I mean, a huge mistake. So she gets upset. So she goes and immediately flirts with his friend and tries
and almost gets raped.
Almost gets raped by him. And Kevin Costner gets so pissed off that he beats a guy half to death.
That's
and
right.
I'm like, red flags everywhere. This man is like a fucking walking red flag.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what are you talking about? You're the one that first of all shot her down, but then immediately gets super jealous.
Of
enough
course.
To commit a felony and almost kill a man.
Which, again, works better if they hadn't had sex, and it's just that building tension, and then finally boils over.
Yeah, if he hadn't had the conversation about, like, no, we can't do this.
Yeah.
Like, then he's just a prick.
Yeah.
And he's just like a wife-beating. He's putting off wife-beating vibes. Really hardcore, yeah. But and then
maybe
also,
that's what she likes about him.
Yeah, because she's a... I mean, again, if
that's
you make him
joke
an
make,
alcoholic, but... and you make her... maybe not a drug addict, but just like a crazier person, then you're like, this is a weird...
No one would buy Whitney Houston in 1992 as a crazy person or a drug addict. Are you crazy?
Are you insane? She's a...
She's America's sweetheart.
Yep. The very epitome of clean living.
Yeah.
Or also like in a toxic relationship? Who
no,
would think that?
No, no. Impossible. Impossible.
Oh, man. That's tea. You make that movie fucking 8 years later.
Yeah.
Or a documentary. Different. If you just make the documentary of Whitney Houston 8 years later. much better.
Yeah. I mean, you saw that. So, like, casting wise, so this movie was originally written in the 70s, got picked up. Was Borman going to make it, right?
Yeah, I think so.
And it was going to be Diana Ross and Ryan O'Neal. I guess Kasdan even says, like, he really wrote it for Steve McQueen.
Yeah, which makes sense.
Which makes sense, which then is why Kevin Costner basically is playing Steve McQueen this entire movie, yeah.
Right. It would have been very interesting to see that in the 70s, I think.
Yes.
I think you get more... 70s were such a grittier time than the 90s that you probably get a grittier film. And one of the things about this movie, and I think the fight scene with Mike Starr and him is a very kind of like Western-y type of fight scene. And it made me think, like, I think if this was a Western, it would have been like
works way better. Yeah.
Yeah. Way better.
Way better. Yeah. You're right.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, it makes sense too. I mean, obviously, Kasdan and Kevin Costner worked together the first time on Silverado, great Western.
Yeah, yeah, right.
And also, we've talked many times about how samurai movies and Westerns are the same fucking thing.
Right. So if this is...
If this is Kasdan's attempt at a samurai, modern-day samurai movie...
Then it works great as a Western.
Yeah.
Instead of this weird fucking romance that they just force...
Right.
Force out the... So the action scene that I was talking about was the... When she carries her, which is also like a weird scene. Well, he gives her a brooch. And actually, I thought that was really funny, too. It was very unintentionally funny. He gives her that brooch.
The little
and
she's cross
like,
brooch, yeah.
Oh, my God, it's beautiful. And he's like, yeah, it's a button. So if you need help. Yeah. And then also...
I like that scene, too, because it does show how just disconnected from people Kevin Costner is.
Yeah. Which, again, you get a good payoff if you develop that. But they don't.
Right.
But anyway, it's like, it's a button. And if you need me, hit that button. And then I'll know. And then I was thinking, like... It's not a tracking device. It's just like a alarm.
Yeah, it just sends a message to his pager.
Yeah. Exactly. Which I'm like, I guess. But like, if you're around her all the fucking time anyway. Yeah. Like,
well, but you never know. Kidnappings and stuff.
Yeah. But still, like, if she gets kidnapped and she's just like, I'm in danger. And then he's like, all right.
I got a page. I guess I got to go.
Now what?
Like, go home.
Where do I go? Yeah. He doesn't want to go. Sai, being a dickhead that he is like, no, we're going to go to this big party.
Right. One, he's told the media.
Right.
It's supposed to be like this improvisational, or not improvisational, but like unannounced concert surprise thing. But everybody knows about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's a huge
thing.
Which
is how those things work. They're never actual surprises.
No. And it's never like, oh, the band just showed up.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to show up to 12 people.
Right. Which would be pretty hilarious.
Yeah. Very
if you
funny.
Were just like sitting in like a dive bar
unless
somewhere.
Unless you're a stand-up comedian. And then like Louis C.K. showed up and it was like fucking 8 people in this place. Like,
yeah.
Then that's different. But, you know, with comedians, you want to do it. But Kevin Costner doesn't want her to go on stage.
Right.
And of course, Sai is like, she has to. Look, she lives for this. Like,
right, yeah. You gotta she let might as already it. Be dead if she's not on stage.
If she's not singing. Yeah. So then... She's singing and a guy jumps up on stage and Kevin Costner's like, not okay. And then Whitney Houston's like, no, it's okay. And I was like, not okay.
Yeah.
Every fucking performer ever will tell you not okay for a fucking rando to jump up on stage.
Yeah.
They're going to get tangled up in the fucking, like all kinds of shit.
Yeah.
And then sure as fuck.
Everybody starts jumping on stage.
Yeah. They almost mother her where they almost tear her into pieces and
eat
her.
That's true, yeah.
Which is a very surreal, weird scene.
Yeah. They're just like ripping her clothes off and stuff.
Yeah, which is super weird.
Which in a better movie could say a lot of, like if this movie was more focused on the price of fame.
Right. Then, or at least like leaned into that more.
Yeah.
Then you could be like, oh, her life is kind of shitty because people are shitty.
If you made her famous. Or exactly. Like if you made her more tragic and more, I guess, like reserved and like afraid. Yeah.
Yeah. Instead of being a big diva. Shit. Yeah. Then the scene pays off again.
Right.
The payoffs with no setups.
Yep.
So then that's
the
when
setups
goes,
with no payoffs and the payoffs with no setups. So this is bad. The bodyguard.
Yep. And then that's when he like punches his way through the crowd.
Right.
Kicks
a bunch of dudes.
He has a weird backup plan that he did not include Mike Starr on because Mike Starr starts punching dudes out too, which is cool.
Yeah.
I like
that. It's really good. He's like throwing people out of the way and like, I got you right over here. And then Kevin Costner goes out the other way.
The other way where he told the limo driver to meet them. Yep. And I was like, I mean, that's a funny dick thing
good,
to do
yeah.
to Mike Starr. Because then it starts raining and he leaves him out there. Yep. That's right before the fight.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's when he carries her. That's when she falls in love with him. She
falls in love with him.
Because he did his fucking job.
It's obviously where you get also the famous poster, right, of him carrying her.
Right.
Which my favorite bit of trivia, and I don't 100% know that this is true, but according to the internet,
yeah.
That picture, not Whitney Houston.
What? Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Did they that have to like recreate it?
No, it wasn't even. She was gone the day that they were shooting the photos for the poster because she, I guess, wasn't feeling well or she had other engagements or something.
Yeah.
So they just shot it with her body double and had her hide her face. That's why like her face is like cradled in Costner's shoulder.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Who gets paid for that?
That's a good question.
Yeah.
That's a good question.
I mean, you sign the contract that they can use your likeness all they want, right? So I bet you Whitney Houston still gets the money for...
Maybe.
Because it's on everything. The soundtrack, the poster, covers.
That's what they use that one shot for every single bodyguard thing.
Yeah.
And it's not Whitney Houston.
It's not. Yeah. Weird. Ah, that is very interesting. Yeah, and also very funny.
Yeah, it's really funny.
Yeah. It's like she missed a day. Then we get... Well, we get the Western fight. Before that, though, we see that the stalker finds like a piece of her clothing.
Right. He's there at the show.
Yeah. First of all, this guy is a slippery fuck.
Yeah.
He's everywhere.
He is fucking everywhere.
He can get into her house.
He's in Miami. He's in her house. Yeah. He's at the club. Yeah.
Yeah. He's at the club. He's after the show. There's another scene later where he's after the fact again.
And I think, isn't this guy like a fucking janitor? How's he affording all that shit?
Yeah, exactly.
He's going to Miami fucking, on the last minute.
How's he following up to Miami? Yeah. It was very funny. Again, unintentionally funny. There's a lot of that in this. Also, when he did that, the first thought, and this is just in today's society, I was like, oh, he found her mask for a second. And I was like, oh, yeah, that's just a piece of her clothing.
Oh, yeah.
But it's because all you ever see on the fucking ground nowadays is fucking masks. We get the Yojimbo scene.
Yeah. So they go, this is before the date.
Before the date, right.
Yeah, before so date.
He fights Mike Starr.
He fights Mike Starr.
Pretty solid
like,
fight.
Yeah, you know, I told you we would have fucking word. Like, you're out of here, buddy. And like Kevin Costner kicks his ass a bunch. And then he grabs a knife.
Yeah.
And Kevin Costner throws a knife by his head and then he puts the knife down. And Kevin Costner does
we're not going to talk about this.
Yeah, yeah, I do love that they have not said a word.
Right.
And Kevin Costner's like, we're not talking about this again.
Yeah.
And I was like,
yeah, that was cool.
That's true.
Wait, again,
talking
Western.
With your fists. Yeah, very Western.
I was like, Western fight.
Very Western or like Shonen Jump.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like, we understand each other because we have punched each other.
Yep. It was a very samurai thing. Well, they show a clip from Yojimbo, which
is. Because they go watch Yojimbo.
Yeah, well, this is the date, right?
Right.
So she's like, I think you should take me on a date. They go on a date. And
Yojimbo, of course, means bodyguard.
Yeah. And it's a movie that's a million times better.
Yeah, no, it's a fucking great movie.
Amazing. It's my favorite part of this movie was the clip
Yojimbo.
From that movie. Yeah, where they cut off his arm and shit.
Yeah.
Or he cuts off the dude's arm and stuff. And I was like, yes, that movie was fucking rad.
Yeah, that movie is fucking rad. That movie is also a movie where the guy does not fall in love.
No.
And also the whole point of like... But he's not really even a bodyguard. Like, he's a guy playing two, like, Yakuzas against each other.
Against each other, yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. He's just like a wandering samurai guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And using it for his benefit. He takes her, like, on a white-collar date, which is funny. He takes her, like, to a... Like a little dive bar.
Like a blue collar date.
I mean, blue collar. Sorry.
Yeah. He takes her to like a country bar. Yeah.
Yeah. Blue collar because he takes her to the bar with the most white people, which is a country bar.
Yeah, of course.
But, you know, I mean, one of the things about this movie that I will give it is
maybe that's why she likes him so much. She's like, white people. What is this? Exotic.
Yeah.
What is this country music? What? I never even heard such.
Everybody just
amazing.
Sits and drinks. Where's all the lights? Where's all the strobes? Where's all the fog machines? Yeah. Like, they're just sitting and drinking. Huh. What a weird concept.
A novel concept.
Yeah.
What is this, food at your table? What?
Hey, at the same table where we're going to drink?
Yeah, that's insane. Yeah.
And white people
How much
are
did
dancing?
You pay for this table?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe that's why. I will give it that it is progressive. Like, they didn't go with Denzel Washington.
True.
Like, it is progressive
to
mix it up. And they don't address it, so it's still not a forbidden love because it never comes into play in any way.
Although they do, it's interesting because in that first scene where they meet, it does seem like she's there with her boyfriend. That guy is never seen again.
No, he's just there for that one shot.
Yeah.
yeah. We get everybody else.
Yeah.
Everybody else comes back except for even the guy that
like,
they
didn't even have the scene that you would think of him showing up and getting in a fight with Costner or something, or like getting too handsy and Costner has to like throw him out or something, you know?
Well, Cy should have been that guy.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Cy should have been like the current boyfriend or current love interest.
But he's just the dickhead producer.
He's just a dickhead producer. Yeah. He's just there about the money. But yeah, you're right. Like, they set that guy up and then never use him again in any way. So the jealousy only plays when Kevin Costner's jealous for no reason.
But this, I guess, this is also the setup of the song, right? Because they're listening to Dolly Parton's original version
of
I Will Always Love You,
which is
while
great.
They dance together. Yeah. Which is actually a good setup. And especially
it is. And the scene is sweet.
It's cute.
When
yeah.
they're dancing together. Yeah.
And again, if this is just they don't have sex and this is just a scene that just further builds this untenable sexual tension between two people that cannot be together.
Right.
Then it really plays well.
Yeah.
It's not that though.
It's not. They have not set that up yeah. in any way. And then that, you know, then they do the sword thing that we were talking about and right. then they sleep
they
together.
Fuck, yeah.
uh-huh. And then that's when you get a little
they
bit.
They don't even have like a sexy sex scene.
No, it wasn't. It was. No,
they just like kiss and fade to black.
And that was it. And that was like a PG sex scene.
Yeah.
You get a little bit of Kevin Costner insight in it, where she's like, what happened? That was also not intentionally funny. It's like, what happened? Did you, were you supposed to be a bodyguard to another lady and she ended up dying?
Hilarious, right?
Huh? Right? And at first he's like, yes. And then he makes a joke like, no, I'm just kidding, like all this. But then you find out it was true.
Kind of, right?
Well, she died exactly. And he was at her funeral and that's what he missed the day that Reagan.
Well, he was at his mom's funeral.
Mom's funeral, that's yeah, right, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. But it was all about Reagan then that he was super obsessed with.
So weird.
It's a weird thing to be that reclusive.
I mean, I know we all loved Reagan back in 1992, but come on, yeah, man. Yeah.
No, well, that would have been
Reagan
even,
again, he didn't
right?
die.
Yeah, yeah.
He was alive.
Yeah, it's a weird thing to be that obsessed over.
Yeah.
But yeah, so then immediately he becomes this weird jealous guy.
If they just Tarantino it, right? And it's just, in this version, Reagan did die when he got shot.
How badass would that have been? If they just mentioned it weirdly, like...
And that's the only difference?
Yeah,
everything
yeah.
Everything else is exactly the same. It's just this weird alternate world in which Reagan got killed.
He'd never forgive himself for Reagan dying.
Yeah.
Like, and he'd just say it, and then there was like, wait a minute, what?
What?
Reagan didn't die? Like, what are they talking about?
It's no, in
like,
this world, Reagan dies.
Yeah,
they exactly. just have, like, one person on a hoverboard, and you're like, oh, okay.
It changed everything. Like, he has, like a newspaper that he tosses, and it just says, like, remembering Reagan 8 years later or something like that.
You just have, like, one clip of Michael J. Fox rolling by on a fucking hoverboard, and everyone's like, oh, shit.
I changed the future, of course.
Yeah. Yeah. Some Biff timeline shit right here.
Yep. That would have been so badass. If they just, like, not casually dropped that Reagan died, that he got shot. Oh, man. But nope, he was just shot one time.
I wonder if as Kasdan was writing this, it just kept changing. Where, like you said, like it maybe it was like Kennedy, and then he was like, wait, who else has been shot recently? Bobby Kennedy. Bobby Kennedy.
We'll do that. And then, he just keeps changing whoever gets killed or shot.
Keep up with the times. And then just not enough people were getting killed, I guess.
What if one of the rewrites was like, he wasn't there during the Watergate scandal thing. And he could have saved Nixon from...
Yeah, from Watergate. Yeah. That's his guilty. Yeah, like, I could have burned those tapes.
Yeah. I had them in my hand. I should have burned them.
He was a great president and a great man. I loved him very much.
Yeah, he's a man of the people.
He was a father to me.
It would have been one of those things where now we would have been like, wait, what? Like the Field of Dreams thing where like, why do these disgraced cheating baseball players deserve to come back? And back then you're like, because the game.
The game is beautiful. Yeah, it's all about
it's
love.
A beautiful game.
Yeah.
Yep, but no, he's just obsessed over the time he wasn't there for Reagan to get shot.
Although I feel maybe it would go the other way, because I feel like in 92, people hated Nixon.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Nixon was such a villain, and now you're like, Nixon, you know.
Yeah, what I wouldn't give to have Nixon as president again.
You're like, he wasn't that bad, I guess. I don't know. What did he do? Listen to some people? Who cares?
Yeah, he did some good infrastructure stuff. And, I mean, he did a lot of terrible shit, but, you know, the whole government was doing a lot of terrible shit. But yeah, so then he immediately goes full crazy jealous.
Yeah, yeah. So this is when his friend shows up, and his friend's also like a former Secret Service guy.
And he's like, I'm working too.
Yeah.
But he doesn't say who it's for.
He just says he's working with some other singer or some other celebrity or something. Yeah.
And then she grabs him and goes and starts making out with him.
Right, to make Kevin Costner jealous, which works.
Yeah, obviously, because he beats a guy half to death.
Yep.
A guy who's just smoking a cigarette.
Guy should have kept his mouth shut.
And it's like the maid's husband.
Yeah.
That's so shitty. But yeah, but she almost gets raped by the guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, he's like, no, stop. And he's like, no, 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 no. We're not stopping.
Which is like crazy. Like,
yeah, she's a very famous,
World
famous person.
100 people outside.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
All she has to do is scream, and like 15 bodyguards are going to come in.
Yeah, including your good friend.
Your good friend who you know is a fucking badass.
Yeah, exactly. Well, they talked a lot about what a badass he is. But no, he goes for it. You know, obviously she gets up and like kicks him out, has Mike Stark escort him out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, after that is when they kind
they
of...
They get another... She gets a letter.
She gets it this
she
time.
She gets the letter, and now
they've been
like,
keeping the letters from her.
That's when she finally comes out like, oh, they masturbated in your bed, blah, 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 and all this stuff.
Even though Scythe said that he was going to tell her, he never did.
Right. And this is also Kevin Costner's like, I'm too emotionally attached, I got to leave. But then they're like, no, she'll do whatever you want. And she's like, all right, come to my cabin in the woods.
Well, first he's like... He gets rid of any other guys in her life. He's like, no more Psy. Like, he's like super weird and jealous.
Yeah.
And like, we got to do everything my way. So I got to take you away to maybe where you can't get a hold of your friends and family anymore.
a secluded place where it's just you and me and God only knows.
Yeah, exactly.
Where only God will hear your screams.
Yeah. Yep. Yeah, he's the vibe is very bad at this point with Kevin Costner. He also has a line in it where he says, like, if you cross me again, I'll kill you myself.
Yeah.
Which I was like, what the fuck was that?
That's insane.
Dude? Yeah.
That's fucking insane.
Like, fucking, he's a crazy. It's actually a much better movie if the bodyguard becomes the guy that you have to
danger?
Get protected. Yeah, the danger that you have to get protected from because he becomes obsessed with her.
That is a better movie.
Yeah, all these.
Why have they not made the horror version of the bodyguard? That's such a good idea, Francisco.
Yeah. I know. Why don't they do that already? Because he's acting like an abusive husband right away.
Wow.
Like he's like, taking her away from her friends and family. Also,
that's legit a good idea. I'm really impressed.
Again, Western, better.
Yeah.
Fucking bodyguard is the bad. Turns into like the obsessed bad guy. Better. Like so many other.
Eastern
fucking
style. Forbidden love. Yeah.
Alcoholism and addiction.
Sure.
Like Star is Born style. Better.
Yeah.
Like all that. But instead.
They never even sing a duet together. Terrible.
Yeah. Where's the love? How do I know that you're in love if you don't sing a duet?
Yeah.
What if they would have done karaoke at that bar? That would have been fun.
Oh, that would have been good. It would have been really good.
Then they could have sang the actual original version.
Yeah.
He decides to take her away. This is when we find out that the sister. No, it's
so
at the house.
It's after. So they go to the house.
It's
his dad's house. They have, which is fucking nice, dude. What did his dad do? His dad has a fucking mansion cabin.
Yeah, does he come from a long line of presidential bodyguards? Yeah,
I don't think they live that well, but maybe. I don't know. I don't know what Secret Service people get paid, but
But it can't be like that level of
that guy had like a fucking
he owns like a lake.
Nice place on the lake.
Yeah, yeah. They go to that, and the guy is really nice. The dad is, he's a good character.
That's great, yeah. Well, and it would have been super funny, though, if they would have just, like, I'm taking you to my dad's cabin in the woods, and then they go out there, and it's just like a fucking trailer park.
Yeah.
Just like, wait, what?
Well, I was expecting.
It's like, well, it's my dad. He's fucking 70 years old. He's living on Social Security. What the fuck did
what did you expect? Yeah. I'm a bodyguard. Like, what do you think?
I'm not a fucking pop star. He lives in a fucking mobile home. What do you want?
Yeah. But anyway, you got to come here to be safe. Like, also, I was also expecting John Malkovich's place from Red.
Oh, yeah, with guns
like,
everywhere?
Yeah, yeah. I was like, oh, his dad probably lives in a fortress because what would be safer than this place that he's built all the cameras and stuff and security in?
Would be his,
but a
like,
fortress.
Yeah.
But no, a nice house with open windows where
giant
anybody can
open
get
windows.
In and out.
Yeah.
There's no security.
There's no security. There's no gates or roads.
No, you can see the house from a mile away because it's in the middle of nowhere and it's just lights.
Yep.
Like, I was like, oh, you took her to the least secure place and now it's you, her sister, a child, and an old man. Like, now you got to protect all these guys. It's like, what are you fucking doing? And it's because he's being an abusive husband because he's like, well, I got to take you away from everybody and keep you to myself and shit like that. Like, it's so fucking weird. But it also has yet another unintentionally hilarious moment where the kid takes off on the boat.
This scene, oh my god, this scene is fucking hilarious because he's running. So Kevin Costner goes running after. They try again.
Well, they set up that he doesn't know how to.
You're right. The music is very bad in this movie. If just because the cues
are bad,
are so ridiculous because the music's playing so dramatically.
Yeah, that it's
and they're just like you think that the kid is like dying and he's just like on a boat.
Yeah, well, they set up that he can't swim. Right. That's fine. But he's sitting on a boat.
Yes.
And he's just like, he turned it on, and he has a life vest on, doesn't he?
I think so,
I think he's got a life. But anyway, he crazy overreacts and runs as fast as he can, and he's screaming, and music swells up.
Jumps, and at first I was like, oh, he's going to jump onto the boat. No, like full Goldberg spears him off the boat.
Like
he like fucking clotheslines him right off the goddamn boat.
Yeah, almost like he was trying to kill him. Like with all his might.
Yeah.
He like fucking jumps. So he gets like 10 feet.
Man, that boy is 7.
Yeah.
You just clotheslined him through the neck.
The whole point is you're afraid he's going to drown. And the first thing you do is knock him out into the
water. Yeah.
And hit him as hard as you possibly can. It was fucking hilarious. And when it happened, I was like, completely unnecessary scene. Like, this scene makes no sense. And then the boat explodes.
Yeah.
And then I was even like, what? Laughing even more. Yeah. I was like, get the fuck out of here, man.
Why would they make the boat explode?
Yeah.
She never even went out on the boat. It's not like she was on the boat earlier.
Exactly. It's not like she's always on the
boat.
Costner
was on the boat.
Yeah. So I guess if you're trying to kill Costner.
Yeah, that way you figure she's like.
But again, a bomb on a boat? The windows are all fucking giant open windows.
Just shoot him.
Yeah, if you can, and then again, jump into the end. If you can hide a gun in a fucking camera, you can shoot a man through a window, like, or a woman, or whoever the fuck you want to kill in that house, because he took him to the easiest one to fucking shoot a person through the window.
For serious.
Yeah. It's so stupid. Yeah, the boat explodes, and I was like,
if they were being hunted by Bruce Willis's The Jackal, that motherfucker would have sniped him like 8 years ago.
Yeah.
Just bam, one through the window.
I mean, but it's the Jackal, you know.
Yeah, that's true. It was the Jackal. Yeah, I mean, that's unfair. Yeah, we can't all be the Jackal.
Even the bodyguard
cannot be the Jackal.
Cannot be the Jackal, exactly. Yeah, so the boat explodes
God
for no
damn,
reason.
We made a lot of movies about fucking hitmen, didn't we?
Yeah, oh yeah. Yeah, that's why, again.
Everyone in college
writes
a hitman movie.
Hitman movie.
Yeah.
Yeah, when the bomb happened, it was very hilarious. Immediately after that, you get the scene from the sister where I was like, called it.
Yep.
Where the sister's like, I didn't think he was going to go after the baby.
Yeah,
like, he was supposed to.
Now she feels guilty because of the boy.
Right. Also, it's a weird scene because she kind of confesses that she hired a guy to kill her own sister.
Right.
Right?
Well, she does, yeah.
Yeah, that's what she does. She confesses she hired it to kill because she stole the spotlight from her. They're both really good singers. Right.
Well, and she also stole Kevin Costner.
Right, because from the beginning, she kind of like, they have a little bit, they have more chemistry.
They have way more chemistry.
Way more chemistry, It's set up actually way nicer.
Way better, yeah.
And again, a better movie if it becomes about that, but anyway.
Or even if it was a true love triangle.
Oh, yeah,
they could have made that work.
Spangs both. Well, she says that too. She's like, you want to fuck both sisters?
And I was like, hell yeah, Kevin Costner.
I was like, do it, dude. Yeah. When are you going to get another chance, man?
Yeah, this is never going to happen again.
Yeah, never.
You will live off this story for the rest of your life.
Yeah, and not only that, but like he already bagged the most famous woman.
One, yeah.
Yeah, then he could be like, her sister too, dude. Get the fuck out. I swear to God. It's fucking also like not very well, not only is it not well developed, but then it's just kind of like, oh, now we know what's happening, and then that's it. And I'm like.
And then she dies almost immediately.
Immediately, yeah.
So there's no fallout out of it.
There's
Whitney
no fallout.
Houston never finds out.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like there's no payoff to that even. So then, as one would guess, it was very easy for somebody to break into that fucking house.
Sure.
Which happens. He goes in with a gun, shoots the sister, runs away. Kevin Costner doesn't catch him. And the sister dies. So then that's the end of that side. But
they still have the Oscars to go to.
Yeah, there's no stopping him, is what the sister says.
Yeah.
Like, once you pay him, he's like Anton Chigurh. Once he's got a weird set of fucking morals, dude.
Going.
Once you pay him, he's got to do the job.
Yeah.
He's an Anton Chigurh type of character. But then you find out that she was nominated for an Oscar.
Best Actress.
Best Actress, which was also
bit
hilarious.
Of a stretch. Bit of a stretch.
Funny. It was funny.
Couldn't have been Best Song. Also, the weird thing about the Oscars.
It couldn't have been Best Song. Yeah, you're right.
For a movie that is made by movie stars that know how the Oscars work, they have a different singer sing her song from her movie that she sang.
And that she's nominated for.
What?
Get the fuck out. Yep.
What?
Like, none of the Oscar shit made sense to me.
Also, they couldn't get any, like, Kevin Costner doesn't have any fucking famous friends that want to pop by for a fucking Ocean's 11 style cameo. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How cool would it have been if he's like, all right, if we're doing the Oscars, I got to bring in the boys.
Yeah.
And it's like all these fucking badasses.
You couldn't bring in like the people from Silverado. You couldn't bring in like Kevin Kline and fucking Danny Glover. And
how cool would that have been?
Fucking Dennehy and Jeff Goldblum and shit.
Hell yeah. You
could have brought in like some and then James Earl Jones from Field of Dreams.
Team of bodyguards that just show up to help him out for that one night.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Dude, I would have fucking killed for that.
Just in the crowd, just playing themselves.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
You're Kevin Costner. You have tons of famous people that you know.
Nope. Just extras. Yeah. All extras.
And it's Lawrence Kasdan produced this movie. You couldn't get like Ford in the crowd for one shot?
Yeah.
One shot of just Ford sitting in the crowd?
Nope. Nothing. We get
You kind of got your boy Spielberg? Steven Spielberg wouldn't do a line?
Just a cool like cameo where people are like, oh shit, that's
Steven Spielberg.
Spielberg
couldn't present it a fucking award while they were setting shit up?
Yeah, it seems like these, it was the Oscars from Naked Gun 33 and a third.
I was going to say, it seems like the Oscars from like a fucking $1 million straight to Netflix movie where it's like nobody famous except for fucking Tom Jane as the lead support.
Well, what's his name that's, that's hosting the Oscars?
Oh, that's Robert Wool.
Yeah, that's
from Batman.
From Batman, exactly. And then I was like, oh, cool.
What's kind of cool about that, too, is he actually wrote jokes for the Oscars.
And they were all like sexist jokes.
Well, no, I mean, Oscars, he was one of the writers for the Oscars. Yeah.
Oh, that is cool.
That is pretty fun. But yeah, no, he does have a lot of sex.
His jokes are a lot of like,
I thought the same thing because they, the only award that I think they show other than her award is best sound editing.
Yeah.
And it's like an old man and this super fucking hot, young blonde chick with giant tits.
Yeah. And even like his jokes were like, I'd like to get a look at her bazoongas or something like that. And I was like, what is this? What's going on? What, like, whose Oscars are these? Like, what are we talking about?
Is this the AVNs? What is happening?
And then his buddy is there, which right away I was like, oh, it's him.
Yeah.
So he's the one because also he's weird about not saying who he's protecting, who is there. So I was like, oh, yeah, that makes sense. So he's the bad guy now. So now Kevin Costner figures it out. And how, I don't know if you've ever seen, even if you watch the Oscars, when you see behind the scenes stuff or when you see the people, you know what the broadcast cameras look like. We all do.
Right, sure.
They're those big fucking cameras that move, you know, it's like a giant thing.
Yeah.
He's holding like a fucking camcorder on his arm, and we are to pretend that he's just like being a camera guy?
Yeah.
Like
that guy that has a camera from Walmart, he's like certainly a VCA. Supposed to be here.
Yeah, and he's hiding the gun in the camera, and I'm like, first of all, everybody would be like, oh, somebody's bootlegging this. Like, get them the fuck out of here away.
Yeah.
Because the cameras don't look like regular cameras.
Yeah.
It was very stupid looking.
Again, it's always crazy to me, because this happens in Wayne's World, too. We talked about it. It's always so crazy to me that Hollywood movies that know how movies work or that know how TV works, they know how award shows work, they're like, nah, fuck it.
I think it's a disregard for the audience. I mean, like, they don't know.
They don't know. Yeah.
People don't know.
Yeah, fuck them.
Yeah, fuck them. They're dumb. They're idiots. Yeah. Middle America. Yeah, this is going to play in the sticks.
Yep. Like.
Yeah, it's so stupid. But then he shoots at her. Kevin Costner does that thing where he does a thing that he wishes he would have done for Reagan.
Yep.
Which is
takes that bullet.
Take a bullet.
And there's a really funny kind of weird scene where everybody rushes over because they're like, holy shit, this guy just rushed the stage and they think he's dangerous. Like,
yeah.
And but they all just kind of stand around while he shoots a guy three
times. Yeah, it's so funny. Yeah, it was really funny. Nobody took the gun. They were like, he's got a gun.
Like, gun. Everyone's just like, oh, gun. And then he just shoots a guy three times and lays back down and they're like,
I feel like this is a story we don't know what's happening yet. The best part of the movie was that dude's face exploding.
Oh, yeah. That was
which
awesome.
Which is super gruesome.
That was crazy.
Yeah. I did not see that coming.
Definitely, exactly. You just expect, oh, he shot him and he'll fall down. And it's like, no, face.
Yeah, his face came off. And I was like, oh.
He fucking full on Nick Caged it.
Nice. Yeah.
His face came off. Yeah.
He took his face surgically, with surgical precision, took his face clean up. And I said it out loud. I was like, oh, his fucking face exploded. That was my favorite part of the movie.
Yeah, no, I don't blame you.
Of the whole thing. And then you're right. Like, he shoots a dude in the audience. First of all,
Yeah.
He also, it seems like he's very far away.
He's pretty far. It's a great shot considering he's shot.
Yeah.
He's on his back, like leaning over and shooting a guy without really even aiming.
Yeah. And laying on, his side.
Yeah. It does through a crowd.
Shoots the camera and it explodes. Like, yeah. Yeah.
I mean, Kevin Costner's badass.
Yeah. We learned that in the Untouchables. Like, he shoots people whilst saving babies.
Yeah, exactly. Put a baby in his arm. He's like Jackie Chan, man. He can't be beat.
Yeah, no, he's kicking dudes in the face and stuff. Yeah, and then best Oscars ever also.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the Oscars when that guy shot another guy? Shot
somebody and his face exploded?
Also, again, it makes no sense. Why would he want to kill her at the Oscars?
That's so dumb.
It's the highest security, and then you're guaranteed to get caught. Like,
exactly. You're not leaving from that.
Even if you get away with your fucking camera gun, there's footage of the whole Oscars. Yeah. So they're going to find you.
Like, and obviously, you know how to do bombs, so just put a bomb in her limo or some shit.
Yeah, you know how to do. Also, yeah, why didn't you put a bomb in the car? Like, why the boat? None of this makes any fucking sense.
It's dumb. It's a dumb movie.
It's a stupid. And then that's when we see that the stalker guy that was also trying to kill her is now there. Free.
Yeah, he's fine. Yeah. We love him now because he wasn't the killer.
Good for him.
He's just masturbating in beds, just like normal people.
It's not a crime, is it?
Is it? It's definitely a crime. Yeah. But yeah, and then you have the very confusing scene.
The very confusing ending scene.
The very confusing ending scene where he shows up and then they make out hard.
Yeah.
But then he leaves. But are they, so they're together or they're not together?
And then it's like a priest is saying a prayer and Kevin Costner standing behind him.
Yeah.
And then that's how the fucking movie ends.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
It's like, did the original, they were supposed to not be able to be together, but then they had to have that makeout scene?
It tested better with audiences?
I don't know, dude. It's lame.
But it's bad. Ended on the makeout scene.
Yeah.
Why have this weird scene of
It's Kevin like they had two endings and they couldn't decide which one. Like, do we do the happy they're together ending or do we do they can't be together ending?
Yeah, and I feel like the director was like, you know what? I like it when they leave it up to the audience. I'm like, you're not leaving anything up to it. You're just confusing people.
It just makes no sense.
Yeah, it's like if after they kiss, Kevin Costner's just in outer space. Then I would be like, wait, what the fuck just happened? Yep. Like, I'm more confused than ever. And that's what happened. It's just like a fraternity order thing, and there's a priest saying a prayer.
Yeah, he's like protecting a mayor or something, or a congressman.
It just zooms into Kevin Costner in the back, and that's it.
Yeah.
And I was like, what the fuck does that mean?
It's a bad ending.
It's a terrible ending. Ah. I was legitimately upset.
Yeah. Yeah. As you should be.
I was like, this fucking movie is awful. But no, millions and millions of people went to go see it.
Such a huge hit.
Just based on the song. I mean, and it's
giant hit.
She was a huge, you know, you can't go wrong with having the biggest two stars two of the biggest stars in the fucking world.
Two giant stars, yeah.
Be in a movie where they fall in love. Like, you can't go wrong with that. You can have a guaranteed success. It's like they made a machine to print money. Like, yeah. That's exactly what happened. But I was not expecting it to be as bad as it actually was. Like, I legitimately was upset by the end. I was like, I wasted 2 hours and 15 minutes of my fucking life in this movie. And also, 45 minutes into the movie, I was like, I get it. What else is there? Turns out there was an hour and 20 minutes still.
Yep.
Worth of the same fucking shit. Like,
yeah, this movie is very long.
Yeah. And I was very upset because I spent an evening watching it.
Yeah. Yeah. Fair.
I did not like it at all.
Yeah, we've already talked about how we would legitimately fix this movie, but let's talk about how we're going to fix this movie.
I still say you do like a cool Western. It's a cool way to do it. If she's out like a vaudeville performer.
She's a traveling burlesque performer.
Yeah,
a
traveling burlesque performer. And
he's just a small town sheriff.
Yeah, only in this one you get he's got to fight.
Like bandits and
bandits,
stuff.
Bandits, yeah, exactly. Banditos, a lot of more racial stuff.
Native American tribes gone. They're just tearing up the land and killing people left and right. You know.
Yeah, or you go the Maverick way and then flip it on its head. They're pretending to.
But a bit of fun. He's best friends with them.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I think I've been leaning towards this a lot more lately. But just adding a lot of alcohol abuse into this movie would be like a way better movie.
Or just make it sexy. It's crazy that this is 92. This is like the height of the sexy thriller.
Yeah, like the R-rated sex
and
thriller.
This movie is, for a romantic movie, it is not sexy.
No.
There's no nudity. There's no even like hot scenes. Like not even like nudity. Put nudity in the side. Nudity, go to bed.
Yeah, no nudity is needed.
But I'm just saying, like, there's no even just like Fucking, yeah, that was again, sexy.
The
that
dressing
like,
room scene.
Yeah, that could have been
an opportunity.
Seductive.
Yeah.
There's just no passion in this movie.
No, zero passion. I guess we can just add all the passion in this movie. Well, I did like the idea, too, of also it being an old man.
Yeah.
Like, he's an old man and she's not very
young. That feeds into certain fetishes.
Yeah. Well, you get like a Lost in Translation type of relationship.
1992 Bill Murray.
Yeah, so let's get Bill Murray in there. I mean, 92 Bill Murray is still pretty young.
Let's get 2002 Bill Murray.
92 Bill Murray is like Groundhog Day time. Yeah, kinda, yeah, right? Yeah, he's still pretty young. Witty guy.
Yeah.
Yeah, current day Bill Murray.
So let's get Life Aquatic Bill Murray.
Yeah.
And let's go hard
and let's go Britney Spears. 98 Britney Spears.
98 Britney Spears.
Yeah.
Way super young.
18. Where you're like, yeah, not okay. It's like when you watch Lolita now and you're like,
We're basically making Lay on the Professional.
Yeah, that's true, actually. So, yeah, you're right. Yeah, we're kind of just making The Professional.
Yeah,
right?
Which is already a pretty awesome movie.
Which is a way more awesome movie. Yeah. So how else do we fix this fucking movie? I mean, Kevin Costner's space is cool.
Kevin Costner's... can we just make it Apollo 13, but Kevin Costner...
Yeah.
And Whitney Houston. Oh, I know what we do. So have you ever seen Robotech, aka Macross?
Oh, yeah, I remember Robotech.
So Robotech, if you've never seen it, it's an old 80s anime that basically is about a fight with aliens and the humans all have these like jets that turn into robots.
Right.
They're fighting aliens. And the way they beat the aliens is because there's a pop star that sings a song and the aliens are like, holy shit, songs exist.
Right. They've never heard songs.
They've never heard songs, right? So what if that, but it's Kevin Costner and Whitney Houston, and they have passionate sex. And,
what if it's Kevin Costner and the blue chick from Fifth Element?
Or the blue chick from Interstellar 55555.
Ah, or the blue chick from...
Smurfette?
I was going to say Nebula.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Mystique?
Just any blue chick.
Any blue chick.
Kevin Costner and a blue chick.
Old Kevin
Costner. In space.
Kevin Costner from...
65-year-old Kevin
Paramount,
Costner.
Paramount Plus? Is that what it's called now?
Yeah. Like the Paramount Plus era of Kevin Costner.
Paramount Plus era... Yellowstone.
Yellowstone.
Yeah. We take Yellowstone Kevin Costner. We take any blue chick.
Yeah.
We put him in space fighting aliens.
And she's got he's got to protect her because she's got the power. I mean, it's kind of Fifth Element-y, but
it's very Fifth Element-y.
She's got the power of song that can save humanity.
Right.
And he's also an old Kevin Costner.
Old Kevin Costner, but he dresses and wears a samurai sword.
And also still like a cowboy though, because it's Paramount Plus.
That's true. Actually, maybe he dresses like a cowboy, but he carries
the future.
The sword.
Maybe that's in.
Yes, like, it's cowboy future. It's like
the future that's going to be cowboy samurais.
It's Firefly and it's Outlaw Star.
Right.
Yeah.
Only with swords, with actual swords.
Yeah.
Not lightsabers. No. Actual swords.
No, fuck that.
Yeah.
I mean, Star Wars was basically that. They were like, what if I take a samurai and a cowboy, but in space now?
Right. Also, like, samurai swords are incredibly sharp.
Yeah.
Maybe you can't cut through metal, but you could cut through any guy.
Sure.
Yeah.
Well, and if we're doing this full on 80s anime style, you can cut through pretty much anything.
Oh, yeah.
In the coolest of ways. Just a line on the screen and then shit breaks in half.
Blood
everywhere.
And then like just sliding. Yeah. Half of them slides
half
off.
Slides off and it's super detailed, like hand-drawn animation.
Even if you keep this movie exactly how it is, only he carries a fucking samurai sword everywhere and cuts a couple of dudes in half.
Nice.
Like, that would have been fucking badass. If he's like an actual current day fucking samurai.
So Ghost Dog, The Way of the Samurai?
Like Ghost Dog, Way of the Samurai. Yeah, exactly.
Only Kevin Costner. But like old Kevin Costner.
Yeah, and he falls in love. He's not just like...
not just kind of sad.
Yeah. Just sad and finishing jobs.
Yeah.
And getting betrayed. Yeah, if you... You give him a sword the whole time. Then the scene where she's getting picked apart by the crowd, he's just cutting dudes in half.
Oh, that'd be good.
Which would be fucking great. Yeah. Just like any guy that just like... and just arms. Like
arms,
if you recreate the Yojimbo scene and he just cuts a dude's arm off.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude.
Fuck yeah.
And also in this reality, like, nobody would bat an eye. It'd be like, yeah, he was protecting her. It's fine.
Yeah.
And they'd be like, why'd he bring a sword? Well, because he's a fucking bodyguard.
He's a bodyguard, man. If you don't want to get cut in half with a sword, don't fucking mess with the bodyguard.
It's better that than you start shooting into the crowd. What are you, insane?
Yeah.
At least he cut one.
Or is this just a world without guns where everyone just, it's all just samurai swords?
No, like then they would develop guns.
Yeah.
We just kept it swords. I like it when they come up with a reality like that. Or like Steam Boy, or like, no, we just stayed with Steam.
Yeah.
I'm like, that doesn't track, but I'll go with it.
Yep. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Like we made the same inventions, only steam powered. No, I don't think we would do that.
Do you have airplanes? Yeah. But steam.
Steam powered. Yeah, What about all the things
cars?
That
were
only
steam.
Able to happen because of electricity? No, but now they're steam, though.
Guns? Yeah, now steam.
Yeah. Light bulbs? Yeah, steam.
Yeah, steam.
Yeah, I dig it when they do that.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. No guns ever.
Video games, but steam.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. They got Nintendos, but they're steam powered Nintendos. You got to put more coal in there.
Instead of quarters, you're just shoveling coal into the machine.
Yeah, to the machine. I'm out of coal.
I'm trying to beat this level of Donkey Kong.
How much coal do you have? We can go play some fucking Donkey Kong.
I'm going to be really bad this year, so Santa fills that shit up.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think a sword-carrying future space cowboy. Kevin Costner.
Dating a blue chick.
Is the way to fix this.
I think somewhere in there is the answer.
At least if you kept the same script and directing style, but at least I would be like, yeah, but it was
this
a space
is
and shit.
Movie.
Yeah.
You'd be like, this is fucking insane.
It kept my interest. Yeah, this is fucking insane. Yeah.
I think we got there.
I think we fixed it. Yeah.
I mean, realistically, again, make it like a 100-minute movie about a chaste. Love that can never be.
Right.
And
develop
fun.
That.
Develop that. And,
yeah. And I mean, if you go. Again, Lost in Translation style, where they don't actually have a romance. They never sleep with each other.
Yeah.
But the tension is there the whole time.
Yeah.
And at the end, they can't be together and they both know it. Beautiful.
Great. And also, that's what the fucking song is about. Yeah. That's why you picked the goddamn song. Yeah.
Not about how you fell in love and like can be together. Like, it makes no sense. Anyway. Yeah, I'm glad we're done with this one.
Now we've got a very interesting thing. It's back-to-back movies featuring the character of Jack Ryan, but with different actors.
Which is very cool.
So this is Tom Clancy World.
Yeah.
I don't remember which one's first, actually. I'm not looking at the list, but next week we're either talking about Hunt for Red October or Clear and Present Danger.
Either one.
Or maybe Patriot Games, but I think it's one of those first two.
Yeah. I guess.
Maybe Some of All Fears.
Yeah. Also, his names are great.
Maybe Jack Ryan, the Amazon show?
The names of his books were fucking great.
No, he was a good namer.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
But anyway, we're going to be talking about one
I think it's Hunt for Red October. But either way, brush up on your Tom Clancy. Play some fucking Splinter Cell or some shit.
Yeah.
Rainbow Six, right?
Yeah, I think it's Rainbow Six.
And get ready for Tom Clancy's CIA spy shit.
Yeah. Join us for what should be pretty fun.
Yeah, should be great. All right. Well, thank you. And, tell your friends, subscribe, listen, Patreon.
Oh, shout out. We do want to give a shout out to Moto Sonora Brewing Company.
Big ups.
Yeah, big ups to them. We just hosted a trivia night and they donated a gift certificate, which is very awesome of them. Tucson, Arizona. Check it out. It's a beautiful, beautiful brewery.
Yeah, great location. Awesome cars.
Yeah, great beer. They have a dog run, which is great, and I bring my dog there all the time. Yeah, check out Moto Sonora Brewing. Highly recommend it.
Yep. And again, shout out to Wallace Book for our theme song, and me for our producing.
Yeah, good job.
So until next week, I'm E.G. Seitz.
I'm Francisco Landi.
Wishing you a good night and a good journey.
We love you.